Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The impeachment trial of Donald J. Trump, a private citizen, is unconstitutional. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, today and throughout several days into the future, this sham trial in the Senate is proceeding regarding impeachment. It's frankly unconstitutional, and it's very clear that the Congress, including the Senate, has no authority whatsoever to engage in an impeachment or a conviction of a private individual. You cannot impeach someone who is not in office. End of story. This is a serious breach of the United States Constitution. Even former Harvard Law professor Alan Dershowitz says that the entire subject, object, and purpose of impeachment is to remove a person from office, particularly in this case, the president. You can only remove when the president is in office. And in fact, we've said many times through our various communications that Article 2, which deals with the executive branch, begins in the first sentences, Article 2, Section 1, that the president shall serve in office for a term of 4 years, using the word in office. And then that same article ends the last few sentences in Section 4 by saying that the president may be removed from office by impeachment. I mean, anybody reading this without any constitutional background, it's pretty obvious. If the president serves in office for 4 years and can then be removed from office, it means that the president must be in office during the time of impeachment. And that's what impeachment is for. Donald J. Trump is not the president. He's the former president. As such, he is a private citizen, and you cannot impeach private citizens.
I might add, he didn't commit any crimes, so you can see the political agenda going on here. But just think how it gets out of hand. I mean, we can start impeaching Obama, you know, any other former president you want to impeach. Think about Nixon. I mean, he did commit a crime years ago, and he resigned so that he would not be impeached.
Exactly. And that's a clear modern example. Nixon was facing impeachment. And so what did he do? He became a private citizen when he resigned, and therefore there was no impeachment to be had because he's no longer in office.
But all of a sudden they're changing the rules because of former President Trump?
And if you were to be able to impeach a private citizen, a former office holder, then any majority party that has control of the House and the Senate can use that in a very vindictive way against the opposition party to eliminate future candidates. For example, to eliminate future presidential candidates. Now, for example, they see that somebody who was in office as a private citizen now, they want to impeach him because that person is going to run or is running for president of the United States or running for a United States Senate or running for some other position or being selected to serve as the Attorney General of the United States. That would mean that you could use it literally to wipe the landscape clean of any of your opposition.
So I just, you know, Matt, I just shake my head. I mean, we know this is all unconstitutional. So how is this being allowed to proceed?
Well, it's just like anything else. A thief can steal until that thief is caught, tried, and convicted and punished. And so, you know, you have laws, but there are lawbreakers. And frankly, what is happening is there are lawbreakers, and they need to hear from we the people that what they're doing is wrong and they need to stop. And that's why at Liberty Counsel and Liberty Counsel Action, we've set up a petition. You can go there and sign that petition or a fax, and that'll be a fax that you can choose different levels to various members of the United States Senate.
And, you know, speaking of thieves, as you mentioned earlier, the good point in all of this is that the evidence of election fraud will come out to the public.
There's no question about that. And I think to begin with, obviously, they don't have any authority. Article 1, Section 3 says that when the president uses the definite article the, not the indefinite article a, when the president of the United States is tried, the Chief Justice shall preside. Now, the president is the president in office, and it is from office that that person could be impeached if there was an impeachable crime. In this particular case, that's why Chief Justice John Roberts has chosen wisely not to preside over the impeachment of a private individual because he has no authority. If that were media that were honest, that would be doing this story, they would be blasting the Democrats for what they've done. Even the Chief Justice knows it's unconstitutional. And then what they did was they appointed as the person to preside a partisan Democrat, the longest-serving Democrat in the Senate, who actually voted against Donald Trump in the impeachment trial last year in the Senate.
Well, you know, we know that President Donald Trump was the duly elected president in 2020. So it will be interesting to see that evidence come out, that the public will see that he was the one that was elected.
Well, I know President Trump has changed counsel in this case. And so he is going to present, obviously, the constitutional defense, which is straightforward. It's uncontroversial, frankly, other than to those people who want to engage in lawlessness and just put the Constitution aside. But his change of counsel is apparently, and we'll find out more as time goes on this week, to address the election issue. And he wants to put that out front and center. And that's what he had been talking about. And even on January 6, he did not encourage anyone to go engage in violence. If you read his speech, he always says peaceful activity. And in fact, what we know now in terms of a historical timeline is that the incursion into the Capitol building occurred before he finished his speech, 20, at least 30 some minutes or more before he finished his speech. In other words, he's still speaking, and the intrusion into the Capitol building had begun. Now, to understand the landscape of what was going on up there in Washington, D.C., if you were going to hear the president, there was a section where you could only get in, and after a certain period of time, you're not going to be able to get in because of the crowd. And so those people were there listening to the president away from the Capitol, away from the Capitol. Those people who were at the Capitol could not hear his message, so they had no idea what he was saying. And therefore, it could not have a cause and effect between what he said and what was actually happening while he was speaking.
And of course, you know, those radical groups would have had to plan this well in advance.
Well, we know now that some of them did plan it, and there's different people. Some of those were BLM type of people. Others were apparently from the group Oath Keepers and a wide variety of groups, none of which were condoning. Obviously, it's wrong for them to engage in violence and destroy the building and do any kind of threats or violence inside of the Capitol. That's wrong, certainly. But the whole House impeachment was premised on the basis that Trump caused an insurrection. But it's impossible based upon the speech alone. It's impossible based upon the fact that it occurred before he finished his speech, that the people at the Capitol never even heard his speech because they were in a different location. And there's no question that the people that were listening to his speech, they're not leaving early. They're going to listen to the rest of his speech.
Right.
So there's no cause and effect. Moreover, in the House, there was no witness, no evidence, and they didn't allow the president, Donald Trump, at the time, to present evidence. Now, by the time Pelosi delivered the article of impeachment to the Senate, there's no way that the Senate could have acted until after the oath of office was given. And that would have been on January the 20th. So there's no way that the Senate could have acted before, while the president was still president. Just couldn't even begin to have acted. Now that he's not president, there's no authority to proceed forward. We need to have people in Congress at all levels, and there's a lot of them, by the way. There were 45 Republicans that went on record to say this is unconstitutional. There's five Republicans that said, well, they they want to proceed with the impeachment. And some of those are your typical people that you've heard from, those fence sitters, those never-Trumpers, and one of those would be Mitt Romney. It doesn't really matter what their personal view is. What matters is what the Constitution says, and this trial is unconstitutional. Make your voice known, because this impeachment is to silence and punish, and certainly the next target is you. They want to silence you one way or another. And we need to stand up for the Constitution and for our freedom. LC.org, that's LC.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. Call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.